Hey, welcome to the Foundry Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to hear future messages. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message today.
All right, so this is me, and I'm going to bring up my son, too. Makes it a little bit more personal, because I'm going to preach, but then you get a little more personal intro to it. This is Lars. So thank you so much for having us. Thank you, Pastor Tim and Fred, meeting them, and Noah and Sarah, where it all started. They're back teaching back there, so... And such a tragedy for the worship leader. I didn't know about any of that, so we'll be praying today for them as well. So we have a little PowerPoint to start, and then I'll preach. Sound good? Good. Missionary PowerPoint. This is the whole family here, and this is Lars, obviously, and that's my wife, Stephanie, Jeremiah, Haven, Eben, and that is right outside our church plant. And so I just thought I'd bring Lars up here as well. He has said he wants to be a pastor someday, like his dad, maybe. If he's not the next Ronaldo... You know, that's his plan A. So, but I just thought Lars could
Hej, jeg hedder Lars. Jeg er 10 år, og jeg kan godt lide at spille fodbold. Jeg spiller som nummer 9, og ja. Yeah.
So that's Danish. There you go. So, just yeah. And then... he was just going to do the Lord's Prayer in Danish too. So, go ahead and do that. Yeah,
Fader vor, du som er i himlen, hellig bliver dit navn og kommer dit rige. Ske din vilje som i himlen, således også på jorden. Giv os i dag vores daglige brød, og forlad os vores skyld, som også vi forlader vores skyldere. Led os ikke i fristelse, men befri os fra det onde, for dit er riget, magten og æren i evighed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's that. So you can give him the mic. All right, so that's Lars, and then we'll just get through some of these sites. Zoom again, go videre. Yes, tak. Some of you maybe don't know where Denmark is. It's not, we speak Danish, not Dutch. I know there's some Dutch connections here. We love that too, but so this is Denmark here. I don't know where we got this map, but it's pointing over to Greenland because we also, that's a part of the Danish kingdom. It has been for 800 years. No, you can't have it. Here it is. And then you have Sweden. I'm Swedish myself. My name is actually Carl Jan Christian Roth in Swedish. That's a whole other story. And then Norway, Finland. And then you see between Iceland, that little dot in Norway, that's the Faroe Islands. That's all a part of the Nordics. So the Gospel Coalition stuff that we're doing is that whole region. But I'm the team leader of Denmark and Sweden. All right, next slide. This is the city of Copenhagen. Maybe you've seen the iconic Nyhavn Harbor here. And this is also the biggest walk-only, no-car shopping area in Europe. It's called Strøget, so it's a lovely, beautiful place. It is the world's most livable city, one of the happiest countries in the world, but also a place that is very lost. And because they don't know their physical need in the same way, they don't necessarily feel their spiritual need. In some ways, we feel like they're inoculated to the gospel by kind of a state religion, of Christianity, but there a lot of them are atheists at the same time. So that's Copenhagen, Denmark, so you can pray for us. And we have a prayer newsletter, by the way, in the back, and a Facebook group as well. All right, next slide. These are churches. This is one of the big state churches. It's beautiful, but, you know, very secular in many ways, the state church. This is our mother church that helps send our church plant, and this is our church plant over here, New Song. We don't have statistics, hard statistics for Copenhagen, but in Paris, there's one evangelical church for about every 40,000 people, and it's more secular in Copenhagen, so we say about one evangelical church for every 50,000 people. So I don't know how many evangelical churches there are in the suburbs of Denver versus how many people. How many people are there in Castle Rock? I don't know. But anyway, you get you guys in this part of the country maybe think of Denver as like needing church plants, and it does, but still, we drive around and we're like, well, there's churches everywhere, like, you know, so it's a very lost place. Next, we have, this is just some, this is our opening of our new meeting space in New Song. This is that same day, and this is, we're starting to do home meetings again in our church. This is this is our apartment that we had just a couple weeks ago. We have a lot of young people right now, but we really need some olders and some elders in our church. You can pray for that. Yes, next slide. This is more of the organizational things that Pastor Tim introduced. So my wife and I work together with the IMB, and so team leader of of Denmark and Sweden. And then the Gospel Coalition Norden. This is a women's conference we did on the Faroe Islands. This is a leadership meeting we did in Oslo. And then this is the Gospel Coalition website. How many of you know the Gospel Coalition? It's quite popular in the U.S. Yeah, it's one of the biggest Christian websites in the world. And they're doing international branches. So if you scroll down on from the U.S. to the Norden, you'll find us. And I'm, you know, leading that. And we're doing 6 different languages. And actually, this week, I had an article on the American website even talking about a couple of conferences we did with John Piper, but not quite with John Piper. You can read the article. It's interesting. Next slide. Yes, that's it. So that's the mission work. But if you have questions, we'd love to try to answer those afterwards. Yes. But I get to preach today, and I'm a church planter, and I'm used to preaching in Danish. I actually wrote this sermon originally in Danish. And we have family here in Parker area, so that's kind of how the original connection came. And many of them are here today, so they're right here. So you can say hi to them. And we're just thankful for, we don't really have a church family in Colorado when we're visiting. We visit a lot for family. So we're just thankful for this relationship and kind of things developing this way. I wish I was here for longer, but we'd love to stay in touch. So we are talking about Proverbs in Copenhagen, and I'm a preacher at heart, so wanted to share with you from Proverbs. Does that sound all right? Yes. We're Baptists, so we do a little back and forth. So is that all right? Yes. Yeah? Yeah? Wisdom is what we read about in the book of Proverbs. And wisdom is the ability to apply God's moral rules to the 80% of life that is not black and white. There's a lot of rules in the Bible, right? But there's a lot of things that aren't covered. How do we apply God's law and principles to the 80% of life that doesn't have those rules, right? It's not less than being moral and good, but it's much more than being moral and good. And why should we talk about wisdom? You guys maybe have studied Proverbs here at some point, I don't know, but I think we need it more now than ever. Right? On our mobile phones, they say there's studies been done in the U.S. that an average teen wakes up to their mobile phone with notifications, and they get 240 notifications per day. And that's just the things that are like saying, hey, check me. If you're scrolling, who knows how many messages we're getting, right? And the world is bombarding us all the time with these messages. Do this, be this. This is the way to go. But the book of Proverbs shows us that the Lord's way is better. Amen? The Lord's way is better. And then artificial intelligence don't even, I mean, that's a whole different game, right? We're getting on the internet and we don't even know what's real anymore. Manipulated reality. We need wisdom. We need to know what Christ came and taught his disciples. The way of the Lord is narrow, right? He called them and he said, follow me. Follow my way. Christ's way is ultimately the only way that is going to bring life in this world. Amen? It is a hard way in some ways, but it is a beautiful, life-giving way. And today I want to talk specifically about the Proverbs has this catalog of subjects, right? And we can't just walk chapter through chapter through Proverbs and make a lot of sense out of it. So you have to kind of piece together the messages on the different subjects. So one topic that gets a lot of coverage in Proverbs is words, how we use our words. And the message is that our words are powerful. Life and death are in our words. Why should we talk about words? Well, it's a big part of our lives, right? In the U.S., they say that people speak about 10,000 words a day. That's a lot. That's probably worth thinking about. I don't know. In Denmark, we don't speak quite as much as they do in America. We're a little quieter, maybe. So maybe 8,000 in Denmark. And then if you go all the way to Finland, they're very, you know, sauna and just kind of 4,000 words in Finland, something like that. I don't know. I don't know the data, but it's a very important topic, right? And actually, 184 out of the 600 Proverbs are, in some ways, about speech and communication. In Copenhagen, there's a business school, a well-known business school called Copenhagen Business School. And the only program that you have to have a 4.0 GPA to get into, guess what it is? Communication and leadership kind of connected to that. But why is that? Because the culture gets that if you can craft and powerfully communicate, you can change the world, right? They are powerful forces. So let me read 4 or 5 Proverbs for us, and then I'll pray and preach this message. Proverbs 18, I think we have them here. Oh, we're starting 1624. All right. 1624 says, gracious words, and if you have your Bibles, yeah, you're welcome to look at them, or your Bible apps, BAPs, as I like to call them. 1624 says, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 16:27, a worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Chapter 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word, we thank you for the book of Proverbs, and we thank you for Foundry Church and just coming into the Christmas season here. We pray that you would send your life-giving word to us. Our words are all derivative of your word, and as I come before the task of preaching, I'm desperate for you. We are all desperate to hear from you, so I pray that you would soften our hearts and grant this microphone that's on my lapel here to be taken from me and amplify your word by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So the overarching message that I have for you today is this. It's pretty simple. If our hearts are filled with gracious, the grace of God, it will overflow with words of grace in our lives. That's the bottom line. But I have three points that I want to look at under that with these passages. You want to say them with me? Yeah? They are flattery, fire in the spirit, and talking smart. All right. So our words have a huge impact. I hope we know that. I heard a sermon, I listened to a sermon to prepare for this from a friend of mine in Ohio. He's a church planter at King's Cross Church. His name's Jeremy Roop. And he gave a story of a young man in a church who was singing, you know, the hymns. And a woman leaned over to him and just said, hey, just to let you know, you're singing out of tune, you know. And, yeah, I know, right? You know, you can debate that. But as a result, this young man did not sing in church for 50 years until he finally talked with someone about it and they said, oh, that's not right, and he was able to process it. But our words have power. Do we realize this? And it's not difficult to understand. Jesus tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Luke 6:45. And if you're in close contact with someone walking with Christ, you will bump into them and they will spill words of encouragement, of life, of truth. And the Lord's way with our words is to humble our heart and say, this is a power that I need your help to wield. And then we will speak sensitively, but also honestly to others in awe of God. But we don't do that, do we? I think all of us, if we look at our words, we took a recording of our words in our private moments, we would see that we all fail. Why is that? Because, as the book of Proverbs teaches us, we're all fools. the book of Proverbs is not flattering for us. And we actually did a message in the book of Proverbs called, What Kind of Fool Are You? And the idea, we get that from a commentary by Derek Kidner. And in chapter 1 of Proverbs, verses 20 to 23, it has these three categories of fools. There's a simple fool, a mocker, and an obstinate fool. Can you say that? Simple fool, obstinate fool, and mocker. Sorry, I did it in a different order. Simple fool, mocker, obstinate fool. And my proposition to you and to us is that Proverbs takes these three kinds of fools that's laid out as kind of a thesis statement in chapter 1, and it applies them to different categories, and we see that really clearly in the use of words, all right? So those are my three points for today. Can you follow? How, if we're not careful, if we're foolish with our words, that the type of fool that we are is going to come out. And then we're going to say, well, that's what we don't want to be. Well, what do we want to be? We want to be following the Lord's way. So the first one is a simple fool speaks with flattery. Everybody say flattery. And we see that in chapter 12, 22. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who, and in the ESV it says, act faithfully. It's not a great translation. It says, speak the truth in most translations. And actually, some translations also do actually say, flattering lips in the beginning. And then it ends, the verse ends this way. Those who speak the truth are his delight. God's delight. Those are one of those verses that just gets tucked away. Do you want to be God's delight? Do you want the Lord to look at your life and say, that is a joy and a pleasure, well done? Like Christ in his baptism, the sky opening, saying, this is my beloved servant. Do you want that? I mean, if that happened to you, you'd have a pretty good day, don't you think? It's like, yeah, you know, the God of the universe, he's pleased with me. Okay. Then speak the truth. Chapter 29, verse 5 also says more clearly, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. And this word, shalek, flatters, it means kind of smooth, seductive even speech, someone who seduces people with their speech. So we all know people that are like this, maybe you're like this, that they're a sweet, quiet, empathetic, but there is a way in which this can be a form of folly. Do we realize this? A simple fool, Proverbs calls it, someone who just doesn't like to speak the truth in a conflict kind of way, right? There's a sense in which our empathy can fall into the error of flattery. And it becomes a form of manipulation, of foolishness, right? And you might say, well, wait a minute, I'm a nice person like that, and how did my, I'm just trying to like be encouraging, how did that become flattery and foolishness? And that's because there is a kind of speech, a kind of use of our words that doesn't reckon with reality. Do we realize that? I'm going to give you an example of this. In Denmark, we have a very strict immigration policy, okay? And Danes are always comparing themselves to Swedes, because Swedes, we, my people, we want to be, we say, the world leader in humanitarianism. And this means that we're very idealistic. We want to bring in as many refugees as possible. We want to bring in all these things, especially from war-torn places like the Middle East. And this is causing problems in Sweden. In Sweden, why do I bring this up? Because this kind of idealism and liberal idealism, it brings us in Sweden to a tendency to not look reality in the face and speak the truth, right? That this is creating kind of parallel societies and violence. Now Sweden, peaceful Nordic Sweden, is the murder capital of Europe. And this, you know, Swedes will say, well, we're trying to be nice people, but are you flattering? Are you speaking the truth? So part of this call to use our speech in a wise, godly way, in the Lord's way, is to speak the truth. Let's not just be influencers of our word with our words who lead to being flatterers with our words. Let's be influencers who speak the truth. Amen? So that's the first one, a simple fool. Maybe that's you. Is that you? Think about that. The next one is fire in the spirit. Say, fire in the spirit.
Fire in the spirit.
And this is a scoffer who speaks with fire in the spirit. And this is really mockery. This type of fool in Proverbs, you've probably read Proverbs before, you've seen a mocker. This is a particular Hebrew word that is describing this tendency. A person who is mocking and even cursing others, not curse words, but, you know, like just using them in such a strong way. So chapter 18, verse 21, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will enjoy its fruit. Why do I bring that up now? Because I think a person who's like this, a scoffer, they're very powerful with their words. But do we realize the damage we can do with our words? We like to say, as there's the U.S. phrase, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Quite the opposite, in fact. They can hurt more. We think we're shooting with toys and bows and arrows, but we're actually going around with bazookas. That's what the book of Proverbs teaches us with our words. We're shooting anti-tank missiles at people, right? There's another verse, chapter 16, verse 27. A wicked man digs pits of trouble. That's about like gossip and stuff. And a fire burns on his lips. So it uses this image of like a weaponized word. Fire on his lips, in his breath. Dragon breath is the image here. It's figurative language of someone who uses their words with kind of an evil intent. It's a very strong wording and description here, and it represents someone who actually has violent intentions with their words. And how do we do this, right? Politicians, they dig up dirt on people, and they throw those. Many of us know maybe people like this. They have dragon breath. They have a strong way with words, don't they? And the image we have here is of a dragon who is being selfish with their use of words. I mean, because when we realize the immense power that words have, it's not a far removed step to say, okay, I can use this power for what? For myself. I can use that to get what I want and put others in their place, right? And that's the thing about Proverbs in general, but especially in words, and this, all of these things are good things. Like a flatterer is someone who is an encourager to start with, right? A dragon breath person is someone who is maybe really quick-witted and sharp and articulate and strong, but then they start using them in their own ways. What might be an example of that? Sarcasm. And it's not always straightforward, right? Sarcasm can be lighthearted and fun, and I get it, you know. But there's also a form of sarcastic commentary and ironic speech, which is malicious. And I think for those of you who are that type, or maybe you know the type, it's not you, surely not you. It's like, wow, come on. Take it easy. Yeah, it was just for fun, you know? Was it? Do you know your heart? Is that an excuse? Or we might say, it's my personality. I grew up like that. I'm just kind of sharp with my words. And yeah, maybe. But do you know your own heart? Do you have a tendency to throw fire bombs? Because that's what we're doing with our breath. Dragon breath. Can you see that if you keep going down this path, you will slowly transform into someone who is like a dragon. Thick scales, numb to the sensitive moments that you need to speak life to others. As I said before, Danes tend to look down on Swedes for our idealism and this kind of thing, but Danes also tend to be pretty sarcastic. Those stupid liberal Swedes, you know, they say maybe in Denmark and these sorts of things. And so we are guilty of this too. But right, how about you right here in Castle Rock? Castle Rock, is that right? Castle Pines, Castle Rock. Do you have a tendency to, how do you use your words? Are you someone who is maybe looking down on those over in Denver and using your words in that way? How can you be a truth teller like we talked about? That doesn't flatter, but still builds up and gives life with your words. Okay? So that's the second point. You can say fire in his spirit. Can you say that?
Fire.
And the first one was flattery. Make sure you're still awake. I brought plenty of candy, so if you don't, you can just eat the candy if you're... And the last one is, this third point is... An obstinate fool plays smart or plays it cool with his words, okay? So there's simple fool, a mocker, and an obstinate fool. How does that affect our words? Well, an obstinate fool just chatters, speaks a lot, and likes to use words to play it cool. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives vent to all his anger, but a wise man keeps it in check. So fool here is this word kesil in Hebrew. By the way, this is the type of fool I am. So you guys are like, you calling me a fool? What? Yeah, I'm a fool too. This is the type of fool I am. And I think often pastors maybe fall into this trap. You can tell me later. It's the Hebrew word kesil, and it's someone who tries to kind of be neutral, go with the flow. The translation here of the Hebrew gives vent to all his anger is interesting, but it can also be translated speaks freely from all his soul, okay? Meaning it's not necessarily a hothead. It's someone who's just kind of, just spilling ideas from the soul. They speak freely. They talk. They like to hear themselves talk. You know the type. Maybe you are the type. And they, make this says the wise man keeps it in check. The second half, it says makes it light or makes it easy for others. So there are just some types who are good at playing with language and ideas, right? And I think often pastors are that personality, and that's kind of how we pastors need to be careful, right? But they might become a philosopher, they might become a journalist, these sorts of things. And they pretend to be a level above all of the conflict, right? The words that are being thrown about, kind of a neutral, detached. And I would say in Denmark, just to let you guys know a little bit more about Denmark, this is very common in Denmark. Everyone, it's free education in Denmark. They want you to become educated all the way to PhD. So it's free, you actually get paid to do that. So everybody gets overeducated, and everybody wants to be a poet and a philosopher in Denmark. Nobody wants to dig sewers. And so they kind of feel in Denmark and maybe in Europe in general that, you kind of don't want to get our hands dirty in the foundry like you guys do. I don't know. Praise God for that. And in English, you might say that you're an external processor. You've heard this? I've said that of myself. And I think that's okay. But sometimes I think external processor is this type of fool. We're basically just using it as a way of not thinking before we speak, right? We're going into a room and we're just sort of pontificating and everyone's like, nobody asked your opinion, and I'm talking about myself here, right? So, and I think this is the type of fool with our words where we need to learn from Alison Krauss. Anybody? That's a good illustration in this room probably, yeah? You know the song? You say it best when you don't say anything at all, right? And I think this kind of fool is kind of a philosophical way of avoiding moral responsibility with our words. It's interesting. It makes you stimulating to others in their curiosity, maybe in your own curiosities as well. And this is the kind of fool, I think, often who becomes, like I said, a pastor. And so we need to watch ourselves of this. So be careful not to become, I would say, so sophisticated with your language that you don't give it to God in love for others. Does that make sense? All of these things are good things. It's good to be good with ideas. It's good to be able to process and stimulate conversation with others. But if we don't do Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the Lord's way. If we don't give it to Him and say, Lord, You've given me this gift. Maybe I was even born with it. I don't want to misuse it. Come before God in trembling and say, I fear You, Lord. Then it becomes wisdom. But if we just give in to our proclivities, it will be obstinate folly. That's difficult, isn't it? You might say, What if we misuse our words? Christian or Nordic preacher guy? I will mess this up. Yes. I think words, more than anything in some ways, Book of James talks about this, a simple, small tongue can have so much damage and so much life. It's kind of humbling, isn't it? We should tremble before the use of our words, and we will mess up. But guess what? There is a word from heaven, a perfect word made flesh, John chapter 1. Jesus Christ came and was the Word made flesh, and he used his words. Do you ever just look at how Jesus uses his words? It's brilliant. He asks questions when he needs to. He preaches when he needs to. He is strong when he needs to be, but not in a dragon breath kind of way with the self-righteous and the Pharisees. He is empathetic to those who need the sinners who are broken and marginalized. There he comes and he speaks words of encouragement, of life. And he is a word from heaven. He is the word from our Father, the maker of the universe, the word from heaven. Do you want to please God? Then come to Christ and say, be that word for me. And what will that word be for us? You are forgiven. You are God's beloved child, not because of your use of words. You and I are fools in the ways that we use our words. But in Christ, we get his righteousness, his use of words, imputed to us. Amen? This is where we should be most excited in this message. Given to us as a gift. No spelling errors. I grade my kids' assignments. Lots of spelling errors. No passing C's will get degrees. A pluses on all your assignments in Christ because of him. And as our hearts become more and more centered on that, centered on the gospel, that will overflow into our daily lives. As we're bumped, our folly will not come out. Our fear of the Lord will come out, and we will speak life. You might say, Christian, I'm just someone who's quieter. I'm from Finland. I only speak 4,000 words at a time a day. I'm just not so good. Well, first of all, you're in good company, according to the book of Proverbs. You're way better than the obstinate fools who are just like blabbing. Quiet is good, but maybe today you need to come before the Lord and say, give me a new courage to speak words of life, to not be afraid to speak truth. You might say, Christian, I'm just like the opposite of that. I'm very talkative. What should I do? Well, maybe your application today can be to come before the Lord and say, slow me down. Put the brakes on the pedal, Lord. Help me. And say, Jesus, take my lips and use them for your kingdom. You might say, Christian, I've messed this up. I've hurt others with my words. Maybe you can imagine back to a conflict that you've had in your family, at work, and you know that you have been shooting with a machine gun. Be honest with yourself. These are not sticks and stones. The amazing thing about our words, according to the scriptures, is that, like the book of James says, it's great death and great life can be brought. So the very words that you shot a bazooka with are the same words you can use to reconcile with that person. If you confess with your words to God first, and move toward that person, the power that can have. Imagine this person who I started with who had someone say, you're bad at singing. What if shortly after that service, she came up and said, wow, that was wrong. Forgive me. Maybe he would have been able to sing in church for decades as a result. Maybe that's what God is calling you to do. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for Proverbs and for just this Christ that we have sent from heaven, the perfect word from you, Father, that we all need desperately. We pray that you would convict us of the ways that we are foolish and grow us in walking in your wisdom's way. Thank you for the forgiveness we have in Christ, and just grow us. Even as we think about missions as well, the chance to come out of this place today with words of gospel grace on our lips as we go to our families for Thanksgiving, as we go on to different activities, may we be ready with words of gospel grace.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and if you did, make sure to share it and subscribe so that we can get you all of these new messages as soon as they're available. I also want to take a moment and thank all of you who are a part of Foundry. Whether you support us financially, or serve with us, or just share these messages, it's because of you that we're able to make a difference. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.